Welcome to SMR's This Week in Review podcast, where we highlight the recent news in sports medicine research. This past week's most popular post on sportsmedres.org discussed a recent study that found that diagnosing labral tears with femoral acetabular impingement can be slow and expensive. It is important for healthcare professionals to quickly recognize and manage the symptoms. Femoral acetabular impingement and labral tears are the most common cause of non-arthritic hip pain in an active population. Diagnosis of these conditions is often delayed as we try to rule out other diagnoses, but this delay could be costly and expose a patient to prolonged periods of pain and increase their risk for long-term adverse health effects. If we had a better understanding of how patients were evaluated and treated for femoral acetabular impingement and labral tears, then this might help us identify strategies to improve patient care and reduce costs. Therefore, these authors set out to determine the average time and money spent by an individual leading up to a diagnosis of a labral tear associated with femoral acetabular impingement. 100 consecutive patients who were diagnosed by a surgeon with a labral lesion associated with femoral acetabular impingement were asked to fill out a questionnaire regarding the course of their hip problems prior to diagnosis. The authors excluded 22 individuals who had other injuries, such as lumbar spine complaints. The questions included the length of time experiencing symptoms before visiting a healthcare professional, number of and type of healthcare providers visited, length of time to diagnose after initiating care, number and type of imaging tests obtained, and number and type of symptom management methods used. The authors estimated the cost for the diagnostic testing and healthcare provider visits by using the Medicare Technical Component and Medicaid 2012 costs. On average, a patient visited 4 healthcare providers before being seen by a surgeon, and at an average cost of $315 per patient. A patient on average underwent 3.4 diagnostic tests to obtain the diagnosis at an average cost of $837. Patients generally received a labral tear diagnosis 32 months after the onset of symptoms. In that time, a patient on average tried 3.1 conservative treatments for an average cost of just over $1,375. These results highlight an unsettling trend in the current diagnosis and treatment of femoral acetabular impingement. Even more alarming is that the costs associated with diagnosis and treatment of labral tears with femoral acetabular impingement is likely underestimated by the study because it relied on Medicare payments instead of actual hospital charges. Based upon Medicare expense data from 2012, the minimum cost to diagnose a labral tear, which would require an AP pelvis and lateral hip radiographs, as well as an MR arthrogram and a visit to an orthopedic surgeon, was estimated to be just over $690. In comparison, the average cost prior to diagnosis in this study was over $2,400, nearly 3 times higher. It will be interesting to see if these findings are true in other areas of the United States. It's important for us to more efficiently diagnose and effectively treat femoral acetabular impingement and labral tears. Some of the most commonly reported symptoms were groin pain and the need to limit running activities. Other problematic activities include entering or exiting a vehicle, prolonged sitting, and stair climbing. These signs may be common to multiple different orthopedic injuries, which may be a contributing factor to the length to diagnosis. However, the study supports that an individual exhibiting these prolonged signs would likely benefit from earlier attempts to rule out a labral involvement. This past week, we also had one other post on sportsmedres.org. That's res.org. This post discussed a recent report of a 14-year follow-up of a randomized clinical trial that found that knees with a history of an anterior cruciate ligament injury are more likely to have osteoarthritis compared with a healthy contralateral knee. But graft selection had no effect on the long-term outcomes, such as osteoarthritis or knee functional outcomes. Don't forget that we also share extra material on social media. For example, this past week, our social media posts included a news article that discussed an abstract presented at the American Medical Society for Sports Medicine's annual meeting. The article noted that the brand or type of helmet or mouth guards does not reduce concussion risk among high school football players. So remember to follow us on Twitter, Facebook, Google+, or LinkedIn. We'll be back next week with more sports medicine research. Until then, have a fun one.